This is the reading for April 28th, Psalm 118. Thank the Lord because He is good. His love continues forever. Let the people of Israel say, His love continues forever. Let the family of Aaron say, His love continues forever. Let those who respect the Lord say, His love continues forever. I was in trouble, so I called to the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. I will not be afraid because the Lord is with me. People can't do anything to me. The Lord is with me to help me, so I will see my enemies defeated. It is better to trust the Lord than to trust people. It is better to trust the Lord than to trust princes. All the nations surrounded me, but I defeated them in the name of the Lord. They surrounded me on every side, but with the Lord's power I defeated them. They surrounded me like a swarm of bees, but they died as quickly as thorns burn. By the Lord's power I defeated them. They chased me until I was almost defeated, but the Lord helped me. The Lord gives me strength and a song. He has saved me. Shouts of joy and victory come from the tents of those who do right. The Lord has done powerful things. The power of the Lord has won the victory. With His power the Lord has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and I will tell what the Lord has done. The Lord has taught me a hard lesson, but He did not let me die. Open for me the temple gates, then I will come in and thank the Lord. This is the Lord's gate. Only those who are good may enter through it. Lord, I thank You for answering me. You have saved me. The stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone. The Lord did this, and it is wonderful to us. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad today. Please, Lord, save us. Please, Lord, give us success. God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless all of you from the temple of the Lord. The Lord is God, and He has shown kindness to us. With branches in your hands, join the feast. Come to the corners of the altar. You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will praise your greatness. Thank the Lord because He is good. His love continues forever. Ruth chapter 1. Long ago, when the judges ruled Israel, there was a shortage of food in the land. So a man named Elimelech left the town of Bethlehem in Judah to live in the country of Moab with his wife and his two sons. His wife was named Naomi, and his two sons were named Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem in Judah. When they came to Moab, they settled there. Then Naomi's husband Elimelech died, and she was left with her two sons. These sons married women from Moab. One was named Orpah, and the other was named Ruth. Naomi and her sons had lived in Moab about 10 years when Mahlon and Chilion also died. So Naomi was left alone without her husband or her two sons. While Naomi was in Moab, she heard that the Lord had come to help His people and had given them food again. So she and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab and return home. Naomi and her daughters-in-law left the place where they had lived and started back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back home, each of you to your own mother's house. May the Lord be as kind to you as you have been to me and my sons who are now dead. May the Lord give you another happy home and a new husband." When Naomi kissed the women goodbye, they began to cry out loud. They said to her, "No, we want to go with you to your people." But Naomi said, "My daughters, return to your own homes. Why do you want to go with me? I cannot give birth to more sons to give you new husbands. Go back, my daughters, to your own homes. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I told myself I still have hope and had another husband tonight, and even if I had more sons, should you wait until they were grown into men? Should you live for so many years without husbands? Don't do that, my daughters. My life is much too sad for you to share, because the Lord has been against me." The women cried together out loud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law Naomi goodbye, but Ruth held on to her tightly. Naomi said to Ruth, "Look, your sister-in-law is going back to her own people and her own gods. Go back with her." But Ruth said, "Don't beg me to leave you or to stop following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. I ask the Lord to punish me terribly if I do not keep this promise. Not even death will separate us." When Naomi saw that Ruth had firmly made up her mind to go with her, she stopped arguing with her. So Naomi and Ruth went on until they came to the town of Bethlehem. When they entered Bethlehem, all the people became very excited. The women of the town said, "Is this really Naomi?" Naomi answered the people, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very sad. When I left, I had all I wanted, but now the Lord has brought me home with nothing. Why should you call me Naomi when the Lord has spoken against me and the Almighty has given me so much trouble?" So Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth the Moabite returned from Moab and arrived at Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a rich relative named Boaz from Elimelech's family. One day Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "I am going to the fields. Maybe someone will be kind enough to let me gather the grain he leaves behind." Naomi said, "Go, my daughter." So Ruth went to the fields and gathered the grain that the workers cutting the grain had left behind. It just so happened that the field belonged to Boaz from Elimelech's family. Soon Boaz came from Bethlehem and greeted his workers, "The Lord be with you." And the workers answered, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz asked his servant in charge of the workers, "Whose girl is that?" The servant said, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me follow the workers cutting grain and gather what they leave behind.' She came and has remained here from morning until just now. She has stopped only a few moments to rest in the shelter." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, don't go to gather grain for yourself in another field. Don't even leave this field at all, but continue following closely behind my women workers. Watch to see into which fields they go to cut grain and follow them. I have warned the young men not to bother you. When you are thirsty, you may go and drink from the water jugs that the young men have filled." Then Ruth bowed low with her face to the ground and said to him, "I am not an Israelite. Why have you been so kind to notice me?" Boaz answered her, "I know about all the help you have given your mother-in-law after your husband died. You left your father and mother and your own country to come to a nation where you did not know anyone. May the Lord reward you for all you have done. May your wages be paid in full by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for shelter." Then Ruth said, "I hope I can continue to please you, sir. You have said kind and encouraging words to me, your servant, though I am not one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz told Ruth, "Come here, eat some of our bread and dip it in our sauce." So Ruth sat down beside the workers. Boaz handed her some roasted grain, and she ate until she was full. She even had some food left over. When Ruth rose and went back to work, Boaz commanded his workers, "Let her gather even around the piles of cut grain. Don't tell her to go away. In fact, drop some full heads of grain for her from what you have in your hands, and let her gather them. Don't tell her to stop." So Ruth gathered grain in the field until evening. Then she separated the grain from the chaff, and there was about one half bushel of barley. Ruth carried the grain into town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also took out the food that was left over from lunch and gave it to Naomi. Naomi asked her, "Where did you gather all this grain today? Where did you work? Blessed be whoever noticed you." Ruth told her mother-in-law whose field she had worked in. She said, "The man I worked with today is named Boaz." Naomi told her daughter-in-law, "The Lord bless him. He continues to be kind to us, both the living and the dead." Then Naomi told Ruth, "Boaz is one of our close relatives, one who should take care of us." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "Boaz also told me, 'Keep close to my workers until they have finished my whole harvest.'" But Naomi said to her daughter-in-law Ruth, "It is better for you to continue working with his women workers. If you work in another field, someone might hurt you." So Ruth continued working closely with the workers of Boaz, gathering grain until the barley harvest and the wheat harvest were finished. And she continued to live with Naomi, her mother-in-law.
Chapter 20.
One day, Jesus was teaching the people in the temple courtyard and telling them the good news. The chief priests, scribes, and leaders came up to him. They asked him, "Tell us, what gives you the right to do these things? Who told you that you could do this?" Jesus answered them, "I too have a question for you. Tell me, did John's right to baptize come from heaven or from humans?" They talked about this among themselves. They said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, 'Why didn't you believe him?' But if we say from humans, everyone will stone us to death. They're convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they didn't know who gave John the right to baptize. Jesus told them, "Then I won't tell you why I have the right to do these things." Then, using this illustration, Jesus spoke to the people. A man planted a vineyard, leased it to vineyard workers, and went on a long trip. At the right time, he sent a servant to the workers to obtain from them a share of the grapes from the vineyard. But the workers beat the servant and sent him back with nothing. So he sent a different servant. The workers beat him, treated him shamefully, and sent him back with nothing. Then he sent a third servant, but they injured this one and threw him out of the vineyard. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What should I do? I'll send my son, whom I love. They'll probably respect him." When the workers saw him, they talked it over among themselves. They said, "This is the heir. Let's kill him so that the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will destroy these workers and give the vineyard to others. Those who heard him said, "That's unthinkable." Then Jesus looked straight at them and asked, "What then does this scripture verse mean? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken. If that stone falls on anyone, it will crush that person." The scribes and chief priests wanted to arrest him right there, but they were afraid of the people. They knew that he had directed this illustration at them. So they watched for an opportunity to send out some spies. The spies were to act like sincere religious people. They wanted to catch him saying the wrong thing so that they could hand him over to the governor. They asked him, "Teacher, we know that you're right in what you say and teach. Besides, you don't play favorites. Rather, you teach the way of God truthfully. Is it right for us to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" He saw through their scheme, so he said to them, "Show me a coin." "Whose face and name is this?" They answered, "The emperor's." He said to them, "Well then, give the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and give God what belongs to God." They couldn't make him say anything wrong in front of the people. His answer surprised them, so they said no more. Some Sadducees, who say that people will never come back to life, came to Jesus. They asked him, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if a married man dies and has no children, his brother should marry his widow and have children for his brother. There were seven brothers. The first got married and died without having children. Then the second brother married the widow, and so did the third. In the same way, all seven brothers married the widow, died, and left no children. Finally, the woman died. Now, when the dead come back to life, whose wife will she be? The seven brothers had married her." Jesus said to them, "In this world, people get married, but people who are considered worthy to come back to life and live in the next world will neither marry nor die anymore. They are the same as the angels. They are God's children who have come back to life. Even Moses showed in the passage about the bush that the dead come back to life. He says that the Lord is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. In God's sight, all people are living." Some scribes responded, "Teacher, that was well said." From that time on, no one dared to ask him another question. Jesus said to them, "How can people say that the Messiah is David's son? David says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, take the highest position in heaven until I make your enemies your footstool.' David calls him Lord, so how can he be his son?" While all the people were listening, Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of the scribes. They like to walk around in long robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces, to have the front seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at dinners. They rob widows by taking their houses and then say long prayers to make themselves look good. The scribes will receive the most severe punishment."